The ESPN Football Today podcast is brought to you by New Dove Men Plus Care, a range of body and face washes for comfortable skin, for skin as comfortable as you are.
This is ESPN Today. From Scout City, here's Jeremy Green.
Hello, and welcome to the Thursday edition of ESPN Football Today, presented by Dove. Been a pretty good week for guests, by the way.
Why, thank you.
DeBrickashaw Ferguson.
Yep.
Was here. That was good.
You need some help?
Who else do we have this week?
We also spoke with Chris Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth, friend of the program now. Both those guys, friend of the program. When you come in twice, you're a friend of the program.
That's right. We also spoke with...
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
That's the one I was looking for. I knew who our guests were, but... what did he say at the end?
Have a great day.
All right, so we had some great guests, and that's not going to stop today. ESPN.com NFL senior writer Len Pasquarelli, he will join us here on the three-point stance, as he always does on Thursday. And then a little time for some reminiscing as Dwight Clark, as I call him, DC, former 49er great, former personnel boss in Cleveland. I worked for him in Cleveland. Man, I've been working for him for a long time. Just carries pads off the field. Should have invited me down to the Super Bowl. I'd carry his bag around. Tote his bag around. I mean, I toted his pads off the field. I could tote his briefcase in South Beach. I'm going to get him to say something funny, too, I think. We'll see. We'll see if we can get a drop from Dwight Clark. Also, the superfans will be here. Travis Holland, Saint superfan. Jake Vandervoorde, our Colts superfan. And we'll find out from Travis, is he going to the game? Is his girlfriend going with him? Did she approve it? Is she getting kicked to the curb if she didn't? All that on a great ESPN Football Today, three-point stance Thursday.
One other thing before you throw. I just want to say happy birthday to my brother. It's his birthday today.
All right. How old is he?
He's 33.
He is?
Yeah.
Is that your younger brother?
It's my younger brother. I only have one brother.
Oh, I don't know how many brothers you have. Where's
one
he
brother.
Live?
He lives in Oklahoma, currently. He's a power plant engineer.
He works in Oklahoma currently.
Yep.
Well, life's not perfect. Let's get to the show with the three-point stance.
This is the three-point stance.
As we always do here on Thursday, I would like to welcome in ESPN.com NFL senior writer Len Pasquarelli. He joins us as part of the three-point stance. Len, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. Well, I'm not in Miami. I'm up here in 8-degree weather.
Well, it's a little chillier there. The weather is not great here, but it's not as bad as it is there. That's for sure.
I'll take rain. I'll take sleet. I'll take anything over the cold weather we have right now. Let's get to the the news and notes for the day. Sources, and this goes to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. It's in regards to Drew Brees. New Orleans considering extending Drew Brees' contract last offseason, but opted to wait another year. Now that it has, the price has only risen with the way Brees has played. Discussions are ongoing with a new deal.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of veracity to that, and I think it kind of came out of our report the other day where Jim Irsay said first that the Colts will make Peyton Manning the highest paid player in league history probably sometime this offseason. They'll start talking, and, you know, we're talking monster numbers there, an average, Jeremy, you know, maybe $20 million signing bonus in the $50 million range. And I think, you know, the Saints saw that report and got kind of compelled to say something about Drew Brees, who, well, he hasn't been shuttled into the background. I mean, obviously, he's been pretty visible every day. But I think most people here feel like Peyton Manning, his presence, is a little bit overwhelming at times. Brees doesn't feel that way. They're actually pretty good friends and have played a lot of golf together. But I think it was in reaction to the Manning things that they felt like, hey, our guy's going to get rich a little bit, too.
Absolutely. The officiating crew's been named for this game. Scott Green will lead the seven-man crew. Talk a little bit about this crew. I mean, you mentioned, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but these aren't great defenses, so maybe they should let them play a little bit on the defense side.
And I think they will. I think, Jeremy, and this is... Certainly, you know, Scott Green is a guy who does let them play a little bit anyway, but I think in the Super Bowl, you tend to see a few less penalties called. a few less holding calls, although the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, unless you're Mike Gandy.
Well, you know, I was going to say the Arizona Cardinals from last year might dispute that, but they do let them play a little bit, and they claim part of it is subconscious, and of course they claim that, hey, you've got the two best teams, they're going to be penalized less than in other games. That's not necessarily the case. I think there is an effort by the league to maybe not say consciously to the officials, but let them know subconsciously, hey, this is the Super Bowl. You know, we don't want the field littered with flags, and I think that will be the case again on Sunday night.
Let them hold a little bit. There needs to be a little holding in the secondary, else this one's going to be extremely high scoring.
Yeah, this will be like the Pro Bowl where it was like flag football.
Absolutely. This one also credited to NFL insider Adam Schefter, Houston to pick up the option for quarterback Matt Schaub. Houston's going to pick up the $10 million option bonus payment in the contract of Pro Bowl MVP quarterback Matt Schaub, according to a league source. Not surprising.
No.
Pro Bowl caliber quarterback and the future in Houston.
That I did not know, but doesn't surprise me. You know, Matt Schaub is a guy they've invested in heavily in terms of trade value. He was kind of their handpicked guy, you know, a few years ago to lead that franchise after they had stumbled through some quarterbacks and you know, the David Carr experiment didn't work out with them. That they thought Matt Schaub would be a good quarterback who had played in the West Coast offense, not only in college, but with the Falcons at the beginning of his career. And I, you know, they rolled the dice a little bit, I will tell you, because as a guy who was familiar with Matt Schaub, I'll be honest with Jeremy, when they made the trade for him, and you know, I live in Atlanta and had watched Matt Schaub, I think he started two or three games.
Right.
At the time they made the trade. You know, I wasn't sure if they were getting the next Tom Brady or the next, you know, Feely, you know, I mean, you just didn't know if the guy was going to be any good, but he's gotten his chance to play. He's put up Pro Bowl type numbers. I think he led the league in passing yards this year. He won the Pro Bowl MVP. Not that was, you people that saw the game know that wasn't such a great feat, but, you know, this is a guy who has brought stability, I think, to their quarterback situation, particularly if he can stay healthy, which has been a problem for him in the past. And, you know, as you know, Jeremy, you've got to have a quarterback to win in this league.
Yeah, two teams in the Super Bowl, they're pretty good at that position. This one's a little bit of a surprise to me. LaDainian Tomlinson saw problems in the Chargers locker room just because LT doesn't speak much. But he says there's a big part of the year where, for whatever reason, I didn't feel connected as far as the team, the kind of unity, togetherness, family, Tomlinson said. I didn't feel that at times this season. That was a problem in the locker room.
Again, I hadn't seen that. I've heard whispers that they were not the most together team, which is a little bit unusual.
Well, because they have such a great leader at quarterback.
Well, exactly. And this is a team that, you know, A.J. Smith has put together really nicely. And, you know, a lot of people have been debating down here if Drew Brees wins the Super Bowl on Sunday night, will A.J. Smith go into hiding? Hey, he's got Phillip Rivers. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, he had a sore-shouldered quarterback who admits, you know, Drew Brees, that he wasn't even sure at the end of, I guess it was the 2005 season when he hurt his shoulder, if he would ever play again. And you know, a team rolled the dice on him and the Saints, and they've hit it lucky. They've rolled a seven, no doubt about it. But Phillip Rivers is pretty good, too. And I think Phillip Rivers' competitiveness makes up for a lot on that team. Now, they had a lot of injuries. There are guys on the defensive side, I thought more so than the offensive side, who weren't particularly happy last year. But, you know, I just don't know, Jeremy, that it led to that team's demise in the playoffs. I think this was a team on a roll going into the playoffs and a team that had some talent. And you know, the injuries aside, they still made it pretty far for a team that was allegedly bickering among themselves, didn't they?
Absolutely. OCU Mignora says he'll quit if he doesn't start. This is interesting because he's talking about the off season and it just started, but he says, I'm not going to be a backup player. I can promise you that. Mignora said, I'll stop playing football before I do that ever again. This has been the worst off season of my entire life. Well, it just started. I can't even think of a time when things were this bad during the off season. You're supposed to be relaxing, but I can't relax. Man, it's an off season for the Giants. It's only been about 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, a bright guy there at OC, I will tell you that. And usually pretty well-spoken guy, but benched toward the end of last year because he just didn't play the run very well, which nobody did on that defense. But Osi was out there, you know, looking like a matador at times, and a guy really kind of fixated on getting a sack and not playing the run real well at all. But will he quit? Yeah, right. It's February, my friend. I mean, guys are good at talking big in February, and once those paychecks start showing up, all talk of retirement ends, and I would imagine that's going to be the case for Losey, who you know, I should point out, has been campaigning for the last 2 years for a big raise. After he signed, you know, a pretty large contract a few years ago,
yeah,
when the Giants really didn't have to sign him because I think he had about 2 years left on his original rookie contract. But a lot of talk right now makes for great print and great copy for the media. But I would be willing to gamble probably my firstborn that Osi Umanor will be in training camp on.
Osi, it's the off season just started. Relax, enjoy your off season.
Exactly. Go play some golf. You know.
This one is Kurt Warner, and Kurt Warner offered special treatment to come back. Basically, Coach Wisnut told me that if there's anything you need to make it work, let me know. Warner said, he said, I'm willing to adjust anything within reason to have you stay. If you need to take some time off, the whole off season, some training camp time, we'll figure it out. A lot of times he would say it in passing, but Warner said he thought there was some truth to it.
You know, I think Wiz is a guy that wanted to keep Warner there. Obviously, he essentially resurrected Warner's career a couple years ago when he said to himself, you know, Matt Leinart's fine, and the other people drafted Matt Leinart to play him, but I'm going to play the guy I've got to play to win. Let's be honest, Jeremy. You've been around the game. All players are not created equal in the NFL. I mean, I can tell you back in the days, and this goes back 20-some years, when I was covering Eric Dickerson, he never practiced on Wednesdays. It was just accepted by the team, and a lot of guys griped at first, but then people said, hey, this guy is our meal ticket. You know, I mean, we're not going to go anywhere without Eric Dickerson. If he doesn't want to practice Wednesdays, fine. So I think there's a lot of this that goes on, Jeremy, that we don't know about. Guys get certain treatment from coaches that isn't in line with the way the rest of the team is treated. And we hear a lot about, well, you know, you've got to be even-handed. But you know what? It's the NFL. Guys aren't. And some players are simply better than others. And there are some guys out there who are putting money on your table. And if they're treated, you know, preferably a certain way, so be it. I think Wiz would have done whatever it would have taken to keep Kurt Warner around. But I don't think no matter what he did, Kurt was going to stay. And congratulations to Kurt for getting out on his own terms.
Absolutely. Last one before we get to what you're working on this week. Plaxico Burress vows a Cub Mac, says he's staying in shape. He's 4 months into a 2-year prison sentence. He says he expects to play after serving his jail time.
Nothing will surprise me in this league, but Plaxico is how old now and will be how old when he gets out of jail. I haven't done the math. But, you know, I don't want to tell you that Plaxico is an untouchable because, again, you know, we got people just short of axe murderers playing in this league, it seems like. somebody might be tempted, but his skills may have eroded a lot. We saw that in Michael Vick this year, particularly in the first half of the season, Jeremy, where he just, let's be honest, even though he wasn't playing a lot, he wasn't the same Michael Vick. Now, as the year wore on, I think we saw flashes of the old Michael Vick, and we'll continue to see that, assuming he's a starting quarterback in the league next year. But, you know, get real, Plaxico. I just don't know many owners. They're going to take on the heat that's involved in signing Plaxico Burress, even if it's just to a contract to bring him to camp and see what he's got.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens with Plaxico Burress. Len, I know you're working on a couple things this week, and speaking of wide receivers, two of them, and they're kind of in the background of the Saints, but Robert Meacham and Devery Henderson have really both come on this season.
Yeah, they are in the background, Jeremy, but I will tell you, those guys have probably made the difference. If you look at their passing attack, which I think is the fourth rated in the league, if I'm not mistaken, you know what you're going to get out of Marcus Colston, even though he was hurt the first half of 2008. You know, 70, 75, 80 catches a year, kind of a possession-type guy, goes into a lot of traffic and makes a lot of catches. You know what you're going to get from Jeremy Shockey. You know that Reggie Bush is going to give you a guy in space who causes a lot of mismatch problems. But Meacham and Henderson have kind of been for – you know, for some of the same reasons, a lot of injuries, but really inconsistent, as you know, have not caught the ball well, great speed. Those guys this year, you know, have really come on strong and added a vertical dimension that didn't exist in that New Orleans passing game before. And I was talking to both of them yesterday. They credit a program they've gotten into in Metairie, Louisiana called Sonic Boom. And not so much the training part of it, but the eating part of it. Their diets are a lot better than they've ever eaten before. They feel stronger at this point in the season, a little bit quicker. They've lost some weight, not great weight. That doesn't make you catch the ball better. Both these guys have had to do that. But I think it's added a little bit to their mentality and made them a little bit tougher. And, you know, one was a first-round pick, one was a second-round pick, and, you know, they're finally playing like it this year.
Absolutely. Wide receiver position, one of the toughest, I think, to develop at the next level.
Absolutely.
Those guys are absolutely coming on. Other thing you're working on, Len, defenses in the NFL. These might be two of the worst. They're good at taking it away, but in terms of overall defense, these might be two of the worst we've seen playing head-to-head in a Super Bowl in a long time.
And I think, Jeremy, you just named their potential salvation on Sunday night. I mean, the Colts are ranked 18th, and you know, good Lord, because it doesn't seem like they can stop the run. The Saints are 25th, but they were second in the league in takeaways, and that's kind of their mentality, is fostered by Greg Williams, who's been doing a lot of yap in the last few days. But it's the first time in history, I went back and checked, and they started combining AFL and NFL statistics in 1970. So that leaves out the first four Super Bowls. I can't find those stats anywhere. But since 1970, this is the first time that there has not been a top 10 rated defense in the Super Bowl. And this is the only time that we've had two defenses rated in the bottom half of the league in the Super Bowl. So defenses are kind of getting, Jeremy, short shrift here this week. And that's riled some guys up because they think they can play a little bit too. You talk to the Darren Sharpers of the world and Robert Mathis and Gary Brackett and people like that. They think defense is going to be the determining factor in this game. And it may be like tennis. It may be the guy that breaks the other guy's serve first. You know, that gets a little bit of an edge in this game. And, you know, I think that while these defenses statistically aren't very good, they play a little bit better than we think they do.
Well, there's no question about it. Both offenses are going to show up. We know there's going to be a good offensive, it's going to be an offensive game. So I would agree, the defense that plays better or the team that maybe runs the football better, something that's not been talked about, the running games will probably be the determining factor.
And I was talking to Bobby Hebert, the old New Orleans quarterback who's down here this week, just getting about as much publicity as the Saints are, quite frankly, and he will tell you that it's a little bit more physical running game with New Orleans than people think, and obviously I've seen that. They can run the football to close out games in particular, and I might add this, if Dwight Freeney is not playing for the Colts, that's a big loss, as you know, but Dwight Freeney's ankle has not been good, has been getting better, as he said, you know, yesterday, but I'll be stunned, and I think you will be too, if Dwight Freeney doesn't at least play passing downs for the
right.
Colts. And it may affect his leverage. He's got great leverage. He's got great body lean. But I expect to see Dwight Freeney out there on Sunday.
Yeah, I would expect him to play in pass rushing situations as well. Len, thanks for joining us from Miami. Go enjoy some of that weather. It's like 8 degrees outside here. But enjoy it. And I want to say thanks to you for joining us all season. We won't talk to you for a while, probably.
My problem. You know what this afternoon is, guys?
What's
the highlight
that?
Of the week? The Carrie Underwood press conference. Oh, I can't wait.
Enjoy that, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you at some point this offseason.
Stay warm, guys.
All right. I would now like to welcome in former San Francisco 49er great, my former boss, Dwight Clark, to the podcast. DC, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeremy. How you doing, man? I miss you.
I miss you too, brother. Are you still living in Charlotte?
I live in Charlotte, and I live out in Los Gatos. I got a little thing going with the 49ers, helping them with the stadium. And so I'm out there, and then I have a son back in North Carolina, so about every 2 weeks I fly back to Charlotte for a couple days and hang out with him and then go back to work.
All right, man. Well, I know you're down in Miami right now. What are you working on down there?
Well, Joe Montana and I we're down here working with Sprint, and they've got this cool thing on their phone, man. It's Sprint's NFL mobile live app. And it's like having all the Super Bowl news you can have right in the palm of your hand, highlights and updates and just anything you'd want to find out about the Super Bowl is right there on the phone. So it's a pretty cool deal. And, you know, technology these days, it's amazing. So so we're out, you know, spreading the word for Sprint, and it's well worth looking into for the diehard football fans.
All right, so you're down there in Miami. You going to the game this weekend?
Absolutely. My my son's flying down on Mac is flying down on Saturday and spending the night Saturday night, and then we're going to the game and then flying home Monday. He's a huge Peyton Manning fan.
All right. Well, this is one of the more you know, Media Day came and went. These are more of the two quiet teams, I guess, we've seen at Media Day. It's just kind of like, I don't know, I look at both of these organizations and they're run well from the top, two quiet football teams that are just kind of going about their business.
It is, really. And, you know, it's one of those things. This will be one of those games where I can sit and enjoy the game because whoever wins, it's going to be fine. You know, it's like when I went to the Giants New England game a couple years ago. I was pulling against New England as hard as I could.
And you and me both.
but this game, you know, I just respect the players, and the organizations are run well, and you know, it just. Whichever team wins, it'll be fine with me because both of them have played great this year, and they're both good stories. And you know, it would be nice for New Orleans to get a win because of what that city's been through. But you know, it's just hard to just not pull for Peyton Manning. He's just he's the perfect role model. He's a great player, a great guy, you know, and so that whole thing, man, either side, you know, that wins is fine with me.
What, you're down in, give me the vibe in Miami right now, this is the first Super Bowl I haven't been to in 5 years. I'm up here in New England, it's a little bit cold. What's the vibe right now in Miami?
Well, if you don't like good looking girls, then, you know, then don't come down here. I'm telling you, man, you got to keep your head on a swivel down here.
I always keep my head on a swivel.
Ah, very good. Very good.
It's amazing, man. It's cool. You know how the Super Bowl is. And they should have the Super Bowl here every other year, man. It's just perfect. The weather's great. The beach, you know, there's like 1,500 different nationalities down here, and it's just cool, man, to be around it all. And then the excitement of the Super Bowl is it's big time, and just making the rounds, doing all these interviews and seeing everybody. And you know, we did Mike and Mike this morning, and doing Dan Patrick, and then we're going up to, you know, that media center, and it'll be, you know, one after another. The atmosphere is perfect, man. You need to, you know, blow that gig off and get your butt down here.
Did you bring the golf clubs?
You know, I didn't. I'm sure you've dealt with Monday morning after the Super Bowl,
right?
And it's tough getting out of here. So I didn't want to check any bags. So I didn't bring my golf clubs. I am playing, though. The 49ers have, they brought some people in, some sponsors, and we've got a little golf outing on Saturday, but I just told them to rent me some clubs because I don't really care how I play. I just want to get out there in the sun and see that ocean, man.
You know, speaking of the 49ers, and we had head coach Mike Singletary on the podcast ESPN Football Today yesterday. Talk a little bit about that organization. I mean, they're in the NFC West. Kurt Warner just retired. I don't know that there's a division that's more wide open right now than the NFC West. And the 49ers seem like they're building the program back the right way.
They are. It takes a little time, you know, because you got to find the right guys. But Singletary, I think I really like his style. You know, I'm I'm kind of like you. I'm old school football, and he definitely is old school. He likes the discipline. He wants people doing what they're supposed to do, saying what they're supposed to say, practicing hard. And I love the way that defense plays, man. That defense is tough. And that Patrick Willis is one of the best football players I've ever seen. And he's worth the price of the ticket if you isolate on him. So they've made some good moves, personnel wise. The Coach Singletary has them thinking the right way. And, I think what they probably need a little help on the offensive line. And then they've got to figure out if Alex Smith mm-hmm. is the guy that can take him there or not. And I think he played well when he got in, toward the end of the year. But I think this is the year he's got to show that he is the man, because everything else around him is kind of starting to come together. So they need a quarterback that can finish it off for them.
DC, you should have told me you were going down there, man. I would have came and carried your bags around, been your caddy. I mean, I used to carry your pads off the field at Rockland. I could have carried your briefcase around down in Miami.
You were so good to me when we worked together in Cleveland. You were the best, man. You and Keith Kidd, did we have a good time or what, man? That was awesome.
We didn't win any games, but it was fun.
I know, till Butch Davis got there and was a jerk, and we had a great time.
DC, man, it's always great catching up. I've got your numbers, you've got mine. Let's keep in touch off air as well. I hope you enjoy the rest of the week. I'm glad you're going to get to spend some time with your son down at the Super Bowl. Enjoy it.
All right, man. Thank you so much. It's awesome to hear your voice. You sound great, and hopefully we can get together sometime.
You got it. Thanks, DC.
All right, see you.
3-point stance.
Point three.
Battle of the Superbands. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hey, Pod, by the way, grab the mic real quick.
Yes?
Who are super fans today? I've got it right here. It's not that I don't know, but you're not getting any airtime today. No. So why don't you introduce the super fans? I want to give you a little air. You're like, nobody wants to talk to me today. It made me sad.
No. Our previous guests had hung up right as soon as they were done.
Like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
So go ahead, introduce our great super fans.
Well, representing the New Orleans Saints, we have Travis Holland. Travis, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Top billing. Let's go.
And, well, you get top billing because the home team for the Super Bowl is the Indianapolis Colts, and that is Jake Vandevorde. Hi, Jake. How are you?
Hey, good. That must pain you to say that, Pod.
Yeah, it's a little painful. See, I mean, Jeremy's got a secondary. It's not that nobody's talking to Pod today. It's, let's have Jay introduce the two teams, which are not the New England Patriots.
All right, let's go. Travis, are you going to the game?
Yes.
When are you leaving?
Right after this podcast. Had to do the podcast first.
All right, who's going to the game with you?
Me and three guys, just, you know, random friends, you know, fellow season ticket holders.
Are your girlfriend's not going?
No, she would ruin the trip.
Wow, did she want to go?
She thought about it, but I told her it might rain in Miami, and what's the purpose of going to South Beach if it's going to rain?
If
it's going to rain. I just made that up.
Is she upset that you're going to the game?
No, she understands.
Okay, good.
Listen, Travis.
Because, I mean, you said on this podcast, if she had a problem with it, get to stepping, sweetie. That's basically what you said.
Yes, I did. And it is true. I think she understands because she knows if she didn't, it'd be over. So it's like, well, I don't really have a choice. I just got to go with it,
And listen, Travis, it might be good for you, too, because Dwight Clark was on earlier, and he told us, with all the women on South Beach.
I always keep my head on the swivel.
That was great. In fact, I want Jay to cut the Dwight Clark keeping my head on a swivel. That will be a new drop because Dwight Clark just dropped it. Like, he's never been on the podcast and he hit a drop. Anytime you hit a drop and you've never been on the podcast, he's like, I'm walking down on South Beach and I got to keep my head on a swivel. It was pretty good. Jake, I know you're not going to the game. Jake, where are you going to watch the game at?
I got one of those new Samsung thin LED TVs, a new Blu-ray, so
surround system. I'm having a big party at my house.
When did the Superfans get sponsorship notice all of a sudden?
Absolutely.
Dropping name brands and stuff.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's get to this football game. And, you know, Travis, you look at this game coming into this matchup, and Len Pasquarelli mentioned it when we had him on earlier. It's like, is Drew Brees even, I mean, does he have something to prove in this football game? Because I know it's Peyton Manning. I've never seen Drew Brees quite fly under the radar as I've seen this week.
It is really weird how Peyton Manning has suddenly gone to, you know, greatest of all time status in the last 2 weeks. I've always thought he's been, you know, no offense, but I've always thought he's better than Tom Brady and the best in the league. But you wouldn't even think that Drew Brees is, you would think it's Mark Sanchez or Joe Flacco is playing in the Super Bowl, not you know, the quarterback with the best passer rating of the season and threw more touchdowns than anybody else in the season, including Peyton Manning in this game.
Yeah, I mean it's been interesting. Jake, your biggest news story that I've got for you, Dwight Freeney, questionable in this football game. I think personally he'll play in pass rushing situations only, whether that's 10 to 15 plays. Give me your take on, do you think he'll play, and if he doesn't, how does it affect the defense?
Yeah, I do think he'll play. You know, it's not going to be the Dwight Freeney that we know, I don't think, though. It will affect the team. I think, you know, Raheem Broxton has to step up, and Mathis has played the right side before, too, so they will be probably doing some jumping around there on the front line. But you can't say it's not going to affect, you know, losing Dwight Freeney is like losing Peyton Manning on the offense. He's our best player on the defense. So can't say it's not going to hurt if he's not 100%. But like it's been all year, it's next man up, and we just keep going.
Yep, just keep rolling. Travis, Len was talking earlier when we had Len Pasquarelli on. He was talking about Robert Meacham and Devery Henderson. I don't want to get your X factor yet, but both of these guys have really stepped up big this season. Even though I know they were high picks, a lot of expectations, takes a long time to develop the receiver position. Talk a little bit about those guys and their contributions.
They've been huge this season. You know, if you watch the games, if you actually look at it, most of the time these two guys are actually Drew Brees' first look right down the seams. And Colson or Shockey doing the out patterns are usually the second receivers when these guys are covered. But their ability to go deep, because on offense, they're probably, right with Reggie Bush, the two fastest guys. They really are what allows the Saints to expand the field and go deep. You look at Meacham, 9 touchdowns on the season. He's averaging like 16 yards per catch. I think he's, you know, pretty high up there. Devery, along with the deep threat, has, you know, this year held on to the ball going over the middle. He's become a more complete receiver. And without those two guys, I don't think we're the number one scoring offense in the league this year.
Jake, this game, two guys that have been fairly quiet, and I think they'll probably be heard from this week, but Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark have both been pretty quiet during the postseason. Productions come from other places, but it's a big game. I mean, talk a little bit about Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark. Who do you think has the bigger game?
Oh, you know, that's a tough one. Who's ever open is going to have the biggest game. I think they both can get around their 6 catches, close to 100 yards. You know, it just depends on, you know, how the Saints play us. And it's hard to play. The Colts kind of just go with what is there, and it's never obvious to any of us fans who they're going to pick on first. So they'll probably just take the easiest matchup, and it could be Dallas, it could be Wayne, but this postseason it's been Collie and Garcon, so I don't look for that to change much.
Travis, how are the Saints going to play this game from a defensive standpoint? I pray and I hope they don't go away. I know it's, you don't want to blitz Peyton Manning. It's tough. He's got a great quickest release in the National Football League. But you got to go with what got you here.
Right. No, and, you know, Peyton Manning's great, but he's not the first Hall of Fame quarterback we've played and beaten this season. Kurt Warner, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, you know, is he better than those guys? Yeah, but he's not 100% better than those three guys. So it's not like we played, you know, horrible quarterbacks to get here. And now, like you said, you got to blitz, because I think the only thing worse than blitzing Peyton Manning is giving him 10 seconds to throw it. Those receivers are too good. They'll eventually beat coverage with the way the rules are in the NFL now. So you gotta bring six. Greg Williams loves to bring six or more blitzes, and he's gonna do that. I think you have to cause turnovers, and you know, just to try and hit them in the mouth. I mean, even if it's not a sack.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
That's good. Did you guys hear the podcast yesterday?
Yeah, the tight end.
Yeah, well, Mike Singletary. He was pretty funny. He listened to all the drops. He thought they were pretty amusing.
I thought he might try to get him to say fired up.
I wanted to get another drop from him. I really did. Yeah. But we didn't.
On their point with the blitzing, you know, Manning isn't 100% better than those other quarterbacks. The thing is, he might get beat on a blitz, but he'll store it in his mind. He's not going to get hit that hard because he's going to see it coming. He'll do his little, you know, fall on the ground thing. The big thing is they're not gonna be huge plays even if they do get sacked, because Manning's gonna secure the ball, and they won't be fumbled like they have been with Warner and Favre.
Yeah, that's six turnovers last week. All right, Travis, give me your X factor.
It's obvious, but when you look at the way he played in the Vikings game, I say you gotta go Drew Brees. You know, he was off in that game. It was, you know, millisecond off, there was something, you know, wrong, whether it was the Vikings pass rush or his mechanics or whatnot. But y'all playing Peyton Manning, and you gotta have vintage Drew Brees to win this game. It's gonna, you know, you're not gonna stop him on defense too much unless you get six turnovers. So you gotta put up a lot of points. So it's an obvious pick, but you gotta go with Drew Brees.
You gotta go with Drew Brees. All right, Jake, who you got as your X factor?
You know, this game's been way overanalyzed. I could go with a bunch of the obvious ones. I think a small thing that a lot of people aren't going to talk about could be Pat McAfee. Been great at punting the ball this year, and he's going to have those long, the long high kicks that the Colts should be able to cover on the punt, so Reggie Bush can't get, you know, a good run at it, and keeping him down in the special teams is going to be huge. So Pat McAfee and of course Raheem Brock's going to have to step up.
Chad Millman's going to join us tomorrow and talk about Super Bowl odds. I never thought I'd hear that an X Factor is going to be a punter. I didn't even know anybody was going to punt in this game, Pod.
That's a good point. But I love the fact that the Superfan went deep for us.
He did.
Well, that's kind of where I wanted to go with it. You know, every inch of this game has been talked about. Everyone knows every good player, everything about it. I kind of wanted to look at something different. And like you might be right. He might not even come on the field. You know, it's happened before for the Colts.
He might come on the field at the right time, though.
Exactly.
He could punt one time, and it might be the most important time. I'll get into my X factors and everything tomorrow. I'll say right now that I think it's gonna.
I'm gonna say this about that.
For whatever reason, the running game is gonna have to matter at some point in this football game. Nobody's talked about it.
Those have been my X factors for most of the year has been Joe Adai and Donald Brown. And that's just kind of a given. They're going to have good reception out of the backfield and pick up the blitzes. So they've always been X factors, and they will. They're underrated, talked about as far as how they help the team, but they're definitely going to be a huge factor.
Go ahead, Travis.
I was going to say, sixth-ranked rushing team in the NFL. Saints, they might be underrated, but I think the Colts defense knows what to look out for. Mike Bowe and Pierre Thomas running the ball. I mean, we've much more balanced offense this year, as you pointed out many times. So we'll run the ball. We're not going to get away from that.
That's why the Saints are so good, because they're balanced. It's hard to bring Bullet up in the box when you know Devery Henderson or Robert Meacher can go deep, and you need both safeties back there. So it's definitely a tough thing to do. So
yeah,
none of the punters might hit the field. You might be right.
Well, the team that punts, I have a feeling that the team that punts the most, and this doesn't always necessarily happen, because it could be one of those games that score, 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 score. So it could be the team that forces the first punt actually has a chance to win this football game. All right, Travis, who you got?
Saints 35, Colts 27.
Jake, what do you got?
Either 31, 31, 31, something like that. Colts will win.
All right. Those should be interesting. Hey, Travis, have a mojito for me on South Beach, please.
Oh, I'll have a lot of mojitos for you on South Beach. Hey, are you going to Bourbon Street? Did I get that correctly on the podcast from Mardi Gras? You going to Bourbon Street?
Who's that?
Tuesday?
Who? Me?
You said that on the podcast, yeah.
I never said that.
Okay.
Pod, did I say that?
I don't recall you saying that, no.
Okay, all right, maybe it was one mojito too early. You know?
It might have been one. JG's got a wife, too. He ain't going nowhere near Mardi Gras. I was about to say,
I was like, you know what you're doing? You know, be careful.
Yeah, JG's not kicking anybody to the curb anytime soon. Travis Holland was willing to, though. Guys, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us all year. We'll talk to you in the off season where you will have to defend your superfan status.
And, of course, the superfan super mock draft.
Superfans, yeah, well, they're picking late.
Well, they are. But they'll be
picking. Going to have the winner on next week?
I don't think so.
Nah, probably not.
I
don't even think we've only got a podcast on Monday next week, so I don't think it's going to happen.
We might do one on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
We'll discuss.
Oh, brother, here we go. Travis Hull and Jake Vandenberg, you guys enjoy the game. Thanks for joining us here on ESPN Football today.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
That is going to do it for ESPN Football today, presented by Dove.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
You asked for a Mike Singletary drop, so I gave you one.
Have a great day. What did you think about that call, Mike?
Have a great day.
What did you think about the officiating?
Have a great day.
What did you tell the official when he blew the call?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
ESPN Football Today, presented by Dove. I want to say thanks to Dwight Clark for stepping into the podcast today, reminiscing a little bit about old times.
I always keep my head on the swivel.
Are you going to get me that drop?
I'll get you that drop.
South Beach. I mean, you always keep your head on a swivel in South Beach. That was absolutely awesome. I want to say thanks to Pod Vader for putting together the show. Thanks for Len Pasquale, ESPN.com, NFL senior writer. Thanks to Jake Vandenberg, our Colt superfan, Travis Holland, our Saint superfan. I'm glad Travis is going to the game. I'm glad nobody got kicked to the curb in the process. Everyone have a great Thursday. Matt Williamson up tomorrow, and another special guest.
Right. We'll have Chad Millman from ESPN the magazine.
And you can, and he's going to talk to us about how you...
The prop bets.
Prop bets.
Talk about prop bets, how you can bet during the game, how you can bet on the game. All he's going to talk about betting.
He's going to talk about gambling. So get your gambling fix here at ESPN Football Today. Everyone have a great day. We're out of here. See ya.
Have a great day.
The music provided on today's show is from Mevio's Music Alley, Will Chryski's Metal Mayhem, and Next Time Around by Asymmetry. Check it out at music.mevio.com. Thank you for listening to ESPN Football Today. For more football talk, be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for Football Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern and replayed at 11 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and online at ESPNRadio.com.